That's all it takes.
Okay.
There you go.
Praise God. Well, yesterday, a personal testimony. 28 years yesterday at 3 o'clock, Sue Ellen and I were married.
Wow.
And so yesterday was our anniversary.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How many years?
28.
28?
Yeah. Praise God.
The 30 that we met.
We met 30 years ago, though, on Flag Day, June 14th. And as I said that, my suspender just popped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God he holds me up.
Yes, amen.
Praise Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm going to start off with a song. And glory, Jesus, glory, you do the fighting for me. Praise you, Jesus, praise you. In you there's always victory. And ye are of God, little children, for you have overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So glory, Jesus, glory, you do the fighting for me. Praise you, Jesus, praise you. In you there's always victory. Amen. And I sang that song on the first night that Sue and I met at Woodburn Assembly of God at the time. Pastor Adams was out of town. He asked me to preach. And that was 30 years ago. And she happened to be there. And she came up the aisle. And I said to myself, boy, that's somebody's nice little wife there. And I didn't know that, you know, about 2 years later, that she would be, yeah, that's it. Praise God.
For the words of the song.
Praise Jesus. Colossians 3:4, which also happens to be my wife's favorite verse. But as I was reading this, the Lord spoke to me something different than we all know what the verse means. In Pastor's Rapture book that I believe he's still writing, he said that this is a rapture scripture. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And when I read that, I saw when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And I feel like when he's our life, then he appears to us on a more frequent basis, on an everyday basis, on a moment-by-moment basis we desire. Then shall you appear with him with his glory. His glory will flood our lives when he is our life. Amen?
Yeah.
And I praise God that he appears to us when, number one, our focus is Jesus. Number two, the object of our faith is the cross of Christ. And number three, our power source is the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. Praise God. And chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Of course, I'm going to read today from the Expositor's New Testament. This I say then, walk, order your behavior in the Spirit. We do so by placing our faith exclusively in Christ and the cross, through which the Spirit works exclusively. Romans 8:1-2. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This proves the existence of the sin nature in the believer. It declares the consciousness of corrupt desires. As stated, the only way to not fulfill the lust of the flesh is for our faith to be placed exclusively in the cross. And I believe this way, though by sin I'm tempted, when I go to the cross, it's preempted. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I put my faith in him, not in my own ability or strength, but solely in his strength. And then he comes and he gives that power. You know, you can't walk very long on one leg. You know, you just can't do it. Most believers have a one-legged salvation. They trust Jesus at Calvary for salvation, but not emancipation. Praise God. They say, I'll do the best I can. I'll work. I'll try harder. I'll pull myself up by my own bootstraps. And I'll white-knuckle club it. But it will never work because you might keep your balance on one leg of salvation for a while. Amen? And you might do it for quite a while. You might be able to do it for a long time. But sooner or later, you might keep going. But then you're going to fall. Because you need both legs. My suspender is falling down. Thank you. I told you, Lord, you're going to have to hold me up today. Praise God. Thank God that my pants didn't fall down while I was doing that. Praise God. Thank God He holds us up. Praise His holy name. But it'll never work. Praise God. Because you can go a long while, but sooner or later you'll lay in a pile. Praise God. Because your own strength won't last. Only His righteousness is everlasting. Amen. But the great news is that He has made provision for the double cure to save from wrath and to make you pure. Praise God. The church stands on its own, on His feet. The church stands on His feet. Amen? Both of them. When it comes to the cross, the Lord wants us to partake of the entree, but also the whole enchilada. Hallelujah. He gave all that you and I daily can receive all the benefits from the finished work of the cross. It's all through the cross. I can't take any credit. It's all through the cross that I get it. Praise God. It's all through the cross. I can't take any credit. It's all through the cross that I get it. And back to Colossians 3:14, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. And let's go over to Romans 8:1. Going to be spending quite a time there in Romans. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation, guilt to them which are in Christ Jesus. It refers back to Romans 6:3-5. And are being baptized into His death, which speaks to the crucifixion, who walk not after the flesh, depending on one's personal strength and ability, or great religious efforts and able to overcome sin, but after the Spirit. The Holy Spirit works exclusively within the legal confines of the finished work of Christ. Our faith in the finished work, i.e., example, the cross, guarantees the help of the Holy Spirit, which guarantees victory. Praise God. And I thank God for sanctification, which happens at the cross, but there's also an ongoing work of sanctification. That's not to say that you're never on this side of heaven going to be perfect, but you're going to maintain a victory. Praise God. You know, I believe that everybody is capable of having victory, and it's only through the cross that we can receive it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 2. But before we go past here, as I was reading there, in verse 1, Romans 8:1, we will be led by the Spirit, or we will be led like a sinker. Amen. When I'm led of the fish, you know, when you're out there fishing and you got those sinkers on there, they go all the way to the bottom. And the truth is, I'll be led by the Spirit, or I'll be led like a sinker. Now let's go to verse 2. For the law which we are about to give is a law of God, devised by the Godhead in eternity past. And you'll find that in 1 Peter 1:18 through 20. This law, in fact, is God's prescribed order of victory of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, the way of the Spirit works of life. All life comes from Christ, but through the Holy Spirit. I want to read just the scripture. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's a wonderful thing. The law of the life that is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So I want to read that verse 2 again. For the law, that which we are about to give, is a law of God, devised by the Godhead in eternity. This law, in fact, is God's prescribed order of victory of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the way the Spirit works. All life comes from Christ, but through the Holy Spirit. And we find that in John 16:13-14. In Christ Jesus, anytime Paul uses this term or one of the derivatives, he is without fail referring to what Christ did at the cross, which makes this life possible, has made me free, given me total victory from the law of sin and death. These are the two most powerful laws in the universe. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus alone is stronger than the law of sin and death. This means that if the believer attempts to live for God by any other means than faith in Christ and the cross, he is doomed to failure. Praise God. Verse 2. Even Marshall Dillon, the lawman, couldn't arrest all flesh. And you and I can't either. We must daily go to the one who wears the star of the morning. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, those under the law had only their willpower, which is woefully insufficient. So despite how hard they tried, they were unable to keep the law then, and the same inability persists presently. Any person who tries to live for God by a system of laws is doomed to failure, because the Holy Spirit will not function in that capacity. God sending His own Son refers to man's helpless condition, unable to save himself, and unable to keep even a simple law, and therefore in dire need of a Savior. In the likeness of sinful flesh, this means that Christ was really human, conformed in appearance to flesh, which is characterized by sin, but yet sinless. And for sin, to atone for sin, to destroy its power, and to save and sanctify its victims. Condemning sin in the flesh, destroyed the power of sin by giving His perfect body as a sacrifice for sin, which made it possible for sin to be defeated in our flesh. It was all through the cross. Verse 3. He came in our likeness that we might take on His. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The law finding its full, or let me do the whole verse. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise God. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The law finding in its full accomplishment in us can only be done by faith in Christ and what Christ has done for us at the cross, who walk not after the flesh, not after our own strength and ability, but after the Spirit. The word walk refers to the manner in which we order our life. When we place our faith in Christ and in the cross, understanding that all things come from God to us by the means of the cross, ever making it the object of our faith, and the Holy Spirit can then work mightily within us, bringing about the fruit of the Spirit. That is what walking after the Spirit actually means. Okay, in verse 4, by faith I've crossed from death to life. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 5 in Romans 8. For they who are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they who are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For they who are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh refers to believers trying to live for the Lord by means other than faith in the cross of Christ. But they who are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Those who place their faith in Christ and in the cross do so exclusively. They are doing what the Spirit desires, which alone can bring victory. In verse 5, victory comes through the eternal victor. Praise God. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For to be carnally minded is death. This doesn't refer to watching too much television, as some think, but rather to trying to live for God outside of His prescribed order. The results will be sin and separation from God. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. God's prescribed order is the cross. This demands our constant faith in that finished work, which is the way of the Holy Spirit. And verse 6, life and peace is daily faith in the finished work of the cross that will never cease. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Once again, this refers to attempting to live for God by means other than the cross, which places one against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In its simplest forms, it means what is being done, whatever it may be, is not in God's prescribed order, which is the cross. Verse 7. Praise God. By His blood, I'm a royal subject. By His blood, I'm a loyal subject. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It refers to the believer attempting to live his Christian life by means other than faith in Christ and the cross. And verse 8, the flesh never rests. Amen? And when we get into the flesh, we're not going to experience peace. When we get into the flesh, we're going to receive the opposite, which is anxiety and a troubled spirit. And we know that we can get there real quick, that it can resurrect real quick. That's why we have to keep our eyes on the Lord. Praise God. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of His. But you are not in the flesh. In one sense of the word, as asking the question, since you are now a believer and no longer depending on the flesh, why are you resorting to the flesh? But in the Spirit. As a believer, you now have the privilege of being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. However, He will do such for us only on the premise of our faith in the finished work of the cross. If so be it that the Spirit of God dwell in you, if you are truly saved, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Paul is saying that the work of the Spirit in our lives is made possible what Christ did at Calvary in the resurrection. Okay, verse 9, praise God. The privilege of His holy presence empowers my life. Praise God. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if Christ be in you, He is in you through the power and person of the Spirit. The body is dead because of sin means that the physical body has been rendered helpless because of the fall. Consequently, the believer trying to overcome by willpower presents a fruitless task. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Only the Holy Spirit can make us what we ought to be, which means we cannot do it ourselves once again. He performs all that He does within the confines of the finished work of the cross. Verse 11. Praise God. Let's go back to, that was verse 10, correct? Let's go to verse 10 here. I get a perpetual paragraph of life because He has served my sentence. I get a perpetual paragraph of life because He has served my sentence. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He who raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit who dwells in you. But if the Spirit, Holy Spirit, of Him from God, who raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, and He definitely does, He who raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Give us power in our mortal bodies that we might live a victorious life. By His Spirit who dwells in you, we have the same power in us through the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. And is available to us on the premise of the cross and our faith in that sacrifice. It's great because it's faith and it's grace. It's faith in His finished work on the cross and it's grace of the Holy Spirit working and empowering us to live a life that He desires for us to have. And we praise Him and we give Him glory forever and ever. And verse 11, praise God. Through the cross of His power, His freedom can be known every hour. Praise God. Through the cross of His power, His freedom can be known every hour. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Therefore, brethren, means that Paul is addressing believers. We are debtors refers to what we owe Jesus Christ for what He has done for us on the cross. not to the flesh. We do not owe anything to our own ability, meaning that such cannot save us or give us victory. To live after the flesh. Living after the flesh pertains to our works, which God can never accept and which can never bring us victory, but rather defeat. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, verse 12. Praise you, Jesus. Got to go back here. I owe our Lord everything. He made an eternal deposit where you and I receive an eternal account, which we can withdraw from on a daily moment-by-moment basis. Praise God. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Praise God. For if you live after the flesh, after your own strength and ability, which is outside of God's prescribed order, you shall die. You will not be able to live a victorious Christian life. But if you through the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, which the Holy Spirit alone can do, you shall live. You shall walk in victory. But once again, even at the risk of being overly repetitive, we must never forget that the Spirit works totally and completely within the confines of the cross of Christ. This means that we must ever make the cross the object of our faith, giving Him latitude to work. And verse 13, life outside of Calvary, I can't bear it. I live today and forever solely on His merit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Spirit will always lead us to the cross. They are the sons of God. We live as sons of God, which refers to total victory within every aspect of our lives. If the sin nature is dominating a person, he certainly isn't living as a son of God. Verse 14. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And before I get back to verse 14 there, what I want to say is when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with Him in glory. Amen. And we're remembering our focus is on Him. On He's our life. And that He appears to us and His glory fills our life. Praise God. You know, on the cross, Jesus' arms were wide open, reaching out to a dying world with love. The cross is vertical, Jesus being the Son of God. The cross is horizontal, Jesus living as a man, dying in man's place, that man could live today and forever in His place. Praise God. The cross is where the vertical meets the horizontal. Right in the center of the cross beam, right where the heart of Jesus was placed for all mankind. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. I thank God that He has never changed, that He remains unchangeable. It says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. Amen. Men will change, but Jesus never, the song says. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. You know, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we've got to come through Him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering your desire. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are their sons of God. For you have not received, let's go to verse 15, the spirit of bondage. To try to live a life after the system of works and laws will only succeed in placing one in bondage. Let's read the whole verse. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Praise God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage. To try to live after a system of works and laws will only succeed in placing one in bondage again to fear. Such living creates a perpetual climate of fear in the heart of the believer. but you have received the spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit has adopted us into the family of God. Catherine Kuhlman used to say, you don't join the family of God, you're born into it. And I agree with that. Praise God. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit enables the child of God to call God Father, which is done because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to stop there and move on over back to the book of Galatians. I want to go over to Galatians 5. And we started in 5:16. So let's go back there. Praise His holy name. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, I'll allow the Holy Spirit to fill me, or I will fully fill myself with the flesh, with all kinds of addictions, doesn't matter where it is. Unless I allow Him to fulfill me, I will fulfill myself. And I believe that's the same for every believer. And He desires His life to fill us. And you and I would say, Lord, we desire the same thing. Verse 17 of Galatians 5. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Praise God. For the flesh, in this case, evil desires, lusteth against the Spirit. It is the opposite of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. It is the Holy Spirit alone who can subdue the flesh. He does so, as we have repeatedly stated, by our faith being placed exclusively in the cross. And these are contrary one to another. These two can never harmonize. As Paul has stated, the old nature must be cast out, which the Holy Spirit alone can do, that you cannot do the things that you would. Without the Holy Spirit who works by the cross, the believer cannot live a holy life. And you and I desire to live a holy life. Those people that struggle with drugs, that struggle with alcohol, that struggle with pornography, that struggle with gambling, that could struggle with so many different things, really what they have is misplaced faith. Their faith is placed in something else other than the cross. Because He will clean you up. He will enable you to live a victorious life. Praise God. Hallelujah. So our faith must be in the right place. If it's misplaced, we will not achieve victory. Our faith's got to be in Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Praise God. Verse 18 of Galatians 5. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. One cannot follow the Spirit and the law at the same time. But that, regrettably, that's what most modern Christians are attempting to do. Unless one properly understands the cross as it regards sanctification, one cannot properly be led of the Spirit who works exclusively within the framework of the finished work of the cross. Verse 18, I'm not under the law. I've been arrested by His grace. Hallelujah. Let's go to verses 19, 20 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: if one attempts to function by means of the law by any nature, the works of the flesh will be manifested in one's life, which of course are these things: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. If one is walking after the flesh, Romans 8:1, one or more of these sins will manifest themselves in one's life. The only way, and I mean the only way, one can walk in perpetual victory is to understand that everything we receive from God comes to us by the means of the cross. Consequently, the cross must ever be the object of our faith. This being the case, the Holy Spirit, who works exclusively within the confines of the sacrifice of Christ, will exert His mighty power on our behalf, which will enable us to live a holy life. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, refers to the fact the apostle was not afraid to name specific sins, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This tells us that in no uncertain terms, that if our faith is not everlastingly in Christ and the cross, we simply won't make it. God doesn't have two ways of salvation and victory, only one, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Through the cross is the only living way to live forever and to obey. Hallelujah. Verse 22 and 23. And they who are Christ... Well, I went ahead of myself here. Hallelujah. Don't get ahead of the head. Praise God. 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit are not fruits, but rather fruit. They are to be looked at as a whole, which means they grow equally. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. Against such there doesn't need to be a law. But let the reader understand that this fruit is of the Holy Spirit and not of man. It can only develop as we're led of the Spirit, and we can only be led by the Spirit by making the cross the object of our faith. Verse 24. And they who are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. This can be done only by the believer understanding that it was carried out by Christ at the cross and are being baptized into His death. Romans 6, 3 and 5. That being the case, as repeatedly stated, the cross must ever be the object of our faith, which alone will bring about these results. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verses 22 and 23. The fruit is produced through the vine. Through the cross life and the Holy Spirit is mine. Hallelujah. Verse 24. And when it speaks of verse 24, they who are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and the lust. He's the doer. He's the renewer. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk refers to our lifestyle. This passage declares both life and holiness to be the work of the Holy Spirit. He operates salvation, and He operates sanctification. Both are realized on the principle of faith, and that refers to the cross ever being the object of our faith. Many know they have received spiritual life as it regards salvation through faith, but they think they can only secure sanctification by works. This is a great error. It never brings victory. Believing in Christ and the cross for sanctification as well as for justification introduces the one into a life of power and victory, which is the only way it can be accomplished. Praise God. I will walk through Him. Verse 25, I will walk through Him or I'll stumble in sin. Praise God. And that is the truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 26, Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, which is a sign that one is functioning according to the law, provoking one another, self-righteousness, envying one another. These are the works of the flesh and will manifest themselves if our faith is in things other than the cross. Praise God. Our faith has to be there, and it can't be anywhere else. Amen? Hallelujah. Our faith has to be in Him. And we have crossed from death unto life. Praise God. This morning I was reading in Mark, and it was talking about how you have to be a little child to come to the Lord. Praise God. Let's just turn over with me to the Gospel of Mark. Praise Jesus. And as we're turning there, Mark, I believe it was chapter 10. And I'm going to be looking for that scripture. Hallelujah. Praise God. In John 10, or Mark 10, 15. Thank you. Yes, it was 15, 16. This Bible is brand new, so as Brother Jack used to say, I got plumber's fingers. So I have to spend more time in it. Amen. Anytime your Bible, the pages don't turn, you've got to turn to it. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And in 10, 15, verily, thank you, Sue and Pastor, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Praise God. Hallelujah. And what I see there in the expositor, it says that the simplicity of the little child is the model and the rule for everyone who desires by the grace of Christ to obtain the kingdom of God. He shall not enter therein. Presents a double negative in the Greek and consequently presents an emphatic denial. But just looking at it from what the Holy Spirit was revealing to me, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Praise God. We've got to come to him. We know that we have to come to him as a child, that we can't make it any other way. And I saw in verse 16 a type of a believer's life when we come to the Lord. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. That is the story of our life. That he was on the cross and he took him up into his arms. Amen. And he put his hands upon them. He has put his hands upon you and I from before we were born, before we were in our mother's wombs. The scripture says he knew us. Amen. We are wonderfully and fearfully made. He has followed us. He has followed us our whole life and carried us. Amen. He has carried us from death unto life. All the stories that we know a little bit about each one of you, we know certain things about you. But how many things you know about that story? How much God knows more about that story? When we get to glory, we're going to see the amazing work of God in your life. We're going to see, like they used to have on TV, this is your life. And praise God, we're going to be able to see all that he did. And we have no clue of how good he is. We have an inkling of how good he is, and we love him. But we have no clue how great God is. Amen. We have no understanding of all that he's done. We don't even have an understanding of what he did so much at Calvary for us. We understand it. Thank God we understand it. But I think that, as I said before, he's greater than we've heard and better than we deserve. Amen. And it's so wonderful, so marvelous. Amen. Oh, my praise shall ever be. Praise God. What Jesus did for me. Hallelujah. Way back on Calvary, it says, the song says. So we thank him. Oh, praise God. Who am I so unworthy of the blood? So unworthy of the blood that shed for me. Who am I so unworthy of the blood, so unworthy of the blood that was shed for me? Who am I so unworthy of the blood, and yet it flowed for me? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Calvary covers it all. Beneath my burden of sin. Hallelujah. Right. Calvary covers it all. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your blood, Lord. Thank you for your atoning sacrifice. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for marvelous hymns that have been sung through the ages, Lord. Folks that have loved you and have come to you and have come and that surround your throne even now worshiping. May we worship with you. May we live with you. Hallelujah. May we die for you that you might live. Hallelujah. We praise you this morning. We give you glory for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do. We thank you for bringing full expression to your possession. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for the many talents that are here, for the many talents that each person possesses in Church on the Rock, and that you might bring about. I was going to say, Lord, that you might foster that talent, but you're not a foster father. Hallelujah. Oh, we belong to you because we're children of the blood. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that we come as a child, and that's how we get everything that we get from you. We come as children, children that will never grow up in the sense that we will always be your children. Hallelujah. No matter how big we get. We thank you, God, for arranging our life. There's a lot of difficulties that come to us, and we bring all to you. There's a lot of things that come. There are physical ailments. There are relational troubles. There are work troubles. There are financial troubles. But Lord God, you're our answer. And you are a present help in a time of trouble. You're able to bring us from where we are to where you are. Hallelujah. You are able to bring us from confusion to peace. You are able to bring us from lack to blessing. You are able, Lord God, to do all things above that we could ask or think, exceedingly above what we could ask or think. We thank you for the power present to heal today, in spirit, in soul, and in body in this church. We thank you for whatever faces each individual, that you are greater. We thank you that you are the overcomer, and we overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We thank you that you are not finished with us, but that your work is ongoing, and that it'll never end, even beyond earth, that you'll still have something for us to do. And we know that we'll worship you forever. And we're employed in praise from here to eternity. Hallelujah. We're employed in worship from here to eternity. We're employed in service from here to eternity and beyond. Hallelujah. We are forever yours, and you are forever ours. In Jesus' name, amen.